And this is a crucial study that we've been going over, the doctrine of our sonship, which is the doctrine of how we are to live unto God, the doctrine of how we are to come to understand who God has made us to be in Christ in conforming us to the image of his Son. And the parts of conforming us to the image of his Son is something that we're beseeched to undertake, and that is the conforming of our minds and the transforming of our hearts, whereas we can have our hearts transformed unto his doctrine and to be like David, a man after his own heart, or a daughter after his own heart. And that's where God is dealing with us, in our heart, in the fleshly tables of our hearts and in our minds. And that's where the education is being placed today, in that aspect. And it's done nowhere else. But it's all done by the proper doctrine being instilled within you. Because if you don't have the proper doctrine within you, you're going to go after the spirit of this world, not after the spirit of God, which we are beseeched to be led by. And that's what this education is all about. It's all about you being educated in the doctrine of his will, not in the doctrine of your pastor, any man today, but the doctrine of his will. And again, what we're teaching today is things that you're being taught. You can take it and look at it for yourselves, do the research for yourselves, and let God be true, but let every man be a lie. Okay, and with that, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to get started here. Romans chapter 8, and let's come to verse, pick it up here in verse 8. Romans 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, I find it needful because just in these eight verses here, you see the Spirit being used well over 10 to 15 times here in these verses here. When you see this here, evidently there's a need and this necessity that we come to understand how to be led by the Spirit, what being led by the Spirit of God is all about. And that's what we've been looking at the past few weeks here. And we're going to take a look at how the Spirit dwells in you, how to get the dwelling, like in verse 11. It says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. And then it says, and he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And then you're told to be led by the spirit and things of that nature. So that's what we're going to take a look at. And we're going to be getting ourselves underway. This is an introduction here. It's an introduction to the adoption of sons doctrine here. And you're looking at this, let's come back up to verse 9, because I want to give you an example here, and let's see the difference of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ and what the difference is there. And we're going to see what the difference is, because But in verse 9, you have the Spirit of God being mentioned, and you also have the Spirit of Christ being mentioned. Well, what's the difference? And you have to wonder, is there a difference? Well, there is. That's why this was used in that manner. But let's go over this. Okay, I'm back. Okay. Got disconnected there. Now, got disconnected for a second. I have to check with my phone provider because for some reason that happens quite often right now. Other than that, now where was I? Okay, we were in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And we see that there is a difference because that's why King James translators translated it in this fashion there, because there is, and God's word has a necessity to it that this be translated for our understanding. And what we're going to take a look at is when you see the Spirit of God, you're dealing with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Word, the words that we have in front of us. But when you're dealing with the Spirit of Christ, now you're dealing with what you received once you trusted in Christ as your all-sufficient Savior. That's what you received the moment that you trusted in Christ. And we see that in Romans chapter 6 and things of that nature. And we're going to take a look at that. We're going to go back and look at that in a second here. But again, and when you're dealing with the Spirit of God, you're dealing with His Spirit, His Word, and you're dealing with what we saw over in John when we seen that it talked about when Christ said He's going to leave and the Comforter is going to come, and the Comforter is going to be there to guide them, because Jesus Christ Himself will no longer be there to guide them and teach them, and there will be one coming to teach them, but it's coming from the Father, as Jesus Christ Himself came from the Father. And we're going to see that this is, and when you're looking at this, again, Romans 8, 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And you see that if so be, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. When you see if so be, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, right there, you see that if so be, that's a clause. That's something that you could have it in you or you could not have it dwelling in you. The Spirit of Christ is what a justified person has in them. That's why it says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, now that's talking about the Word, that's talking about what the Holy Ghost given us through the doctrine. But the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And that's the action there, that quickening. You know, most translations, they take that word quicken and they change it from quicken to back again. Okay. Back again. Again, I'm having problems with the phone line. I don't know what's going on. I have to call my provider. But ever since I did this update on my phone a week ago, I've had these problems, and I have to get it worked out. And then I'm going to probably have to use my wife's phone. but we'll pick it up where we left off here. Again, there is an importance that is placed upon understanding what this doctrine is all about. And when we're looking at the issue about that quickening is an excellency of older English word. And it's supposed to be quickened, even though we don't use it in that term today, to use when it comes to amplifying upon being alive or life and things of that nature. And it says, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit. This is an application. That quickening is something that's being amplified upon, showing what's going to happen to your mortal bodies by God's word. And just the term alive is not good enough. The term life, given life, is not good enough to be placed upon that. Because that is something that, when it talks about quickened, it's something that it should be talked about as being not just made alive, but something that has movement to it. Something that has not only a movement, but an objective to be reached by bringing forth that to life. You know, and for instance, this may be a bad illustration, but when you look at, say, the movie Frankenstein, for instance, just say, for instance, that Frankenstein monster was created with an objective. It wasn't just created just to be brought forth to be alive, but there was an objective made in bringing it forth. So just trying to give you an illustration, that's all I can come up with right now. But that's why that word quicken is the more excellent word. And some people will say, well, why do we need to put, we don't use that today. But it's a reason why the King James is the more excellent wording when it comes to using this here. So, again, quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And, again, that spirit dwelleth in you if you allow it to dwell in you, if you allow yourselves to cry, Abba, Father, if you allow yourselves to seek for it as silver and things that's talked about over there in the Proverbs as hidden treasures. Because all saints are not going to want to be led by the Spirit of God. All saints are not going to allow God's word to dwell in them. There are people that we talk to on a daily basis. There's people that we've witnessed to. And we've witnessed to those people, and those people have become justified by hearing the word. But if they don't take it any further than that, they'll never have a chance to allow God's spirit to dwell in them, whereas they can be fully fitted for his use, for the master's use, so he can fully utilize them in a proper way. And that's the whole issue here about the dwelling of the spirit. And a lot of people use that term indwelling, and that's not even in the Bible, that indwelling, that word indwelling. Let's take a look at this and see how this works here. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Come back to Romans chapter 5. Come back to Romans chapter 5, and let's look at verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now you see what's going on here. It's explaining about what a justified person has. And it's explaining to you that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And it's, when it says that, it says the love of God is shown in our hearts. It's revealed to, it's brought forth in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And that there is showing you the operation there. And the word is the Holy Ghost here. It's not Spirit. The Spirit is the operation of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, when you take a look at the book of Acts, for instance, if you look at the book of Acts and you see all the working that's going on there with the Holy Ghost, you see it says, and Stephen stood up full of the Holy Ghost and said, or you see there's ones that, there's verses that says, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. Or other verses where it says, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the ministry words I call them. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was at that time getting the word of God accomplished through these men. And that's what we have, that's what we see now today before us in God's word. We can open up God's word and we can see the workings of the Holy Ghost. And the remnant of that is the Spirit of God. And that's what we see and we have before us. But you're looking at this here, Romans 5, verse 1, it talks about the justification we have. And we are justified by faith. And we can't lose our salvation. That's what this is explaining to you. We have peace with God. Well, before you had wrath. Now you have peace with God through Jesus Christ's death. It says, by also whom we have faith, by also we have faith into this grace wherein we stand. That's your standing. You're standing upon grace. And there's no more wrath. God's not going to get you if you sin. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's rejoicement in that. And he says, not only so, in other words, not just only that, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, you see here, it's saying we glory in tribulations. Well, a saint at this point in Romans chapter 5 would not know what Paul is talking about at this point. Because at this point, they're saying, wait a minute, how can you glory in tribulations, Paul? How can you glory in tribulation? I don't get it. Well, Paul's going to teach that in Romans 6.
Recorded.
Okay. Back once again. Now I'm on my wife's phone now, so hopefully that won't happen. I need to get that checked out, of course, again. But to any event, let's get ourselves back underway. We were in Romans chapter 5. Well, you are. I kept getting kicked out here. So let's take a look back at Romans chapter 5 here. And I was going over the doctrine of showing that when Paul says here about tribulations and glorying in tribulation, and that's to a point where we couldn't understand that when you're in Romans chapter 5 at verse 3 at this point here. And then Paul goes on and gives you illustration here. He says, "But we glory in our in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." And you see what he's saying. He's saying by tribulations that there's going to be some hope there. There's going to be experience being done by this. And this is all going to be done by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And he's saying that patience, it's knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And doesn't that sound like a workmanship to you? Doesn't that sound like something that a working that the saint himself is doing through the Holy Ghost? And that's what it is. That's what it is. In that work, it says worketh patience. And that worketh patience is because when we get later on in Romans chapter 8, we're going to see about patience in your tribulations. We're going to see how that patience is able to be brought forth. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. That's one of the benefits of being in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. There is going to be experience by that. There is going to be patience. And the more you work at it, there's going to be hope. And that's what's being talked about over there in 2 Corinthians when it talks about that consolation. And when you go through sufferings, by your consolation, you can help others also. And that's a workmanship, a working. So when the term is used, sonship, a lot of people, they assume that it's something else other than what's being taught there. Okay, but again, what I'm after is verse 5. I don't want to get off track there. Hope maketh not ashamed. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Okay, now let's come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's take a look at this. And we're going to see that there's a difference between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is what you have. The Spirit of God is something that is what we have in front of us, that we're to allow to dwell in us. And let's see that there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's come down to verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. "And be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Oh, you see here, Paul is talking to justified people. And what God is saying, here, is being said to justified individuals. And that's why it says, for what God says. He's saying this to justified individuals that, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And that's not just saying be my people as in a justification sense. That's be my people as in later on, as you're going to see. That's why Paul says, wherefore? Wherefore what? Come out from among them. He's talking to justified people. Be separate. Set apart. Holy. Saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This is This is your sanctification. I will be a father unto you. You should be my sons and daughters. That father, sons, and daughters, that's a teaching. He wants to teach them his ways, his thinking. Work together with him in what he's doing. Don't have an agreement with these other things. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that's not talking about marriage. That's talking about do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers of any type of male or female. Don't have fellowship. Don't have communion with these people. Don't have concord with these people. Don't have part with these people, with the ones that are unbelievers or even believers that are still walking in this world. Be ye separate, the Father is saying unto us, as sons and daughters, so we can be taught his ways and by him. Now let's come over to, while you're in 2 Corinthians, come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we went over this last week, and just going to touch on something else here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 2. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Okay. Now, when you're looking at verse 2 here, we didn't go over this last week because I was saving it for this week because it more or less applies to what's going to be taught this week. Now, when Paul says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. What do you think Paul is saying here? Ye are our epistle. Paul is saying that the ones that are reading this is his epistle, and it's known and read of all men. What is he saying there? Well, Paul is saying that he's talking about the saint becoming that son, becoming that living epistle, that living doctrine, that living example, being able to be fully utilized by God. Being able to, when you see that saint, you see God. I don't mean in the sense of actually God himself, but you see God's workmanship. You see Father like Son. And that's what this is what this is all about here. That's why he says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. And this is the way it's intended to be. This is the way it's intended to be, where that saint is allowing God's word to work effectually within him, so that when you're tending and when you're being instructed in your father's business, it would be just as if someone comes into your father's business. Say he owns a car dealership. Well, when a person comes in there, when they're dealing with the son or the daughter, it's as if they're dealing with the father. If they're used to being treated fairly and treated great in that business by the father, they know they can expect the same thing of the son or the daughter because they've been taught of the father. They've given themselves over to not understanding this world's ways of dealing in business or this world's thinking in dealing with business and things of that nature. But they would deal with it in the same way the father deals with the customers in that aspect. And that's what this is all about. Verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us. Now you see, Paul says that we are declared to be the epistle of Christ. But that's the way God made a declaration that's the way it would be. That's how not only are we going to be sanctified, but we're going to take sanctification to the level that God will want us to take sanctification to. And some people think sanctification is just about doing a little charity here and there, going to church, listening to gospel music, or whatever the case could be that they think they're doing, or they're not doing those 10 things or 8 things that they used to do. And they feel that that's being more godly. That's more being more in tune to God. But that's not the case here. We're to be taught in a specific manner, educated from milk to meat in God's will, in his ways. And again, we can't jump from Romans chapter 8 straight over to the book of Timothy. Not to say that there's no value in grabbing application from there, but you're not going to be able to fully understand it because you're going to be way in over your head if you're not understanding these doctrines properly. And like he says here, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Again, that's where the education is. Education is done on the fleshly tables of your heart. And you notice it says this is done with the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of God is the one educating you in the epistle of Christ. Like he says, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. What that is the epistle of Christ is you are the actual, that conform you to the image of his Son. And notice down here when he talks about the New Testament. The New Testament, and he says, let's go verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, small case spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And that Spirit is our spirit. Our spirit is the one that's making this known. Our spirit is the one that's putting this on display. Our spirit is the one that's producing the functional life. And that's the way it's intended to be. It's intended to be that in that same manner there. Now, I want to take a look at, well, we got a little time here. I want to take a look at the issues of the spirit. And we're going to look at the small case S and the capital S so we'll get a good understanding and show what Paul is saying here. He's showing how we ourselves as sons and daughters in Christ can start to make that spirit, make our spirit come to life, be quickened, not just come to life, but have that objective to it, have that, not just say, because you have saints who are quickened. The Bible tells you that ones are quickened. Romans chapter 4 talks about what when we were justified, we became quickened, we became made alive. But there's an objective, and this is what we're going through. Let's look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, we've went over this before, and this is the doctrine of your sanctification here. Romans chapter 7, let's look at verse 5. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now ye are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Now you see here when he talks about being, we should serve in newness of spirit, that's a newness of our spirit. And when Paul says, for when we were in the flesh, he's saying that, you know, when we know some people that are justified, they can still be in the flesh. They can walk according to the motions of sin. But see, that's not the way God intended it to be. It says, which were by the law. And see, that's not the way it was intended to be. You have some justified faith that can bring forth fruit unto death, if so be that they are still in their flesh, that that's what they're going to do. But he's speaking of the aspect of the way God sees it, the way God's intention is for that saint and daughter to serve him. And the way he intends for that saint and daughter, son and daughter to serve him is in newness of spirit, in the newness of their spirit. And when they do that, they can bring forth fruit unto holiness. Because if they serve in the oldness of the letter, they're going to do nothing but bring forth death. And that's the way that man deals with things today. Now let's take a, and you notice that's a small case S. That's your spirit. That's our spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look at another instance here about the Spirit. And again, this is very crucial in understanding what Paul means when Paul says, for ye are led, when he goes over in Romans chapter 8, he talks about being led by the Spirit of God. Because if you don't understand that, you're going to assume that it's talking about something else. You're going to assume that it's some mysticism, like some, you give this verse to 90% of Christians, and they're going to think that you're talking about that the God from the Adonai Jehovah, when you pray to him, you say, God, which job should I go after? God, which one should I marry? God, what should I do about this? Or which way should I go? And they assume that God is leading them, that he's going to lead them in that decision-making. But that's not what this is talking about at all. They feel that he's going to lead them in their decision-making in that aspect. But that's, God is telling us to get his word and find out what he's doing today in this dispensation of Gentile grace and find out how we are to be led. And it's not a knee-jerk reaction. It's not something that's done on the fly. This is something that's being, it's done in a strategic, doctrinal way, being taught. That's why the epistles are in the manner that they're in. These epistles were not written in this specific manner, in time. In time, they weren't written in this manner, in this fashion here. But they're placed by the men of God. They're placed in this order that we be taught in this specific order. And again, when you're looking at this doctrine here, you're seeing how that we're supposed to serve in the Spirit. And again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to see that here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Okay, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So this is how we communicate with God, the Spirit, to Spirit. See, and when you're looking at this, again, the word Spirit is being used here many times. One ought to have a proper understanding of what this is being said here. But when you look at this and you see capital S Spirit in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, you can see God hath revealed them unto us by his word. By his word, the Bible. For the Spirit, or you can say for the word, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, that's not too hard to understand. That's not too hard to understand that when you understand what that spirit means, it means his word. God hath revealed unto us by his word, his spirit. For the word, the spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And that's how we search all things. That's how we come to understand the deep things of God, by opening up his Bible, opening up the word. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save, in other words, except the spirit of man. That's the small case s, that's inside of a man, which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. In other words, but the word of God. In other words, it says no man is going to know these things other than by the word of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, small case s, but the spirit which is of God. Now you notice that spirit is a small case s, the spirit which is of God, because Paul is comparing the man, that the spiritual man, and the natural man. So now the natural man, you see, has that spirit of the world. But the spirit which is of God is something that's saying the inner man which is of God. Or we can just back that up. Verse 12. Now we have received not the word of the world, but the word which is of God. Or the inner man, what the inner man is being taught of this world, or what the inner man is being taught of God. That's our spirit that is taught of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Only way you're going to know these things, because that's what he talks about in verse 11 twice. He says, but what man knoweth the things of man, or even the things knoweth of God knoweth no man. So in verse 12, that's why he says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And how do you know that? Not by what some man tells you, how God is physically blessing you today. How you know this is by God's word, is by his spirit that it is revealed unto us. He's not constantly revealing these things like some people say, God spoke to me or God told me this. The last word God spoke to man was 2,000 years ago, and we have record of that. And verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's how we do. We speak the things that the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now you notice it says teacheth, because there is a teaching being done. There is a classroom curriculum being mentioned here. Something that we have, the only way we're going to know these things, the things that God is actually doing, the things that are actually freely given to us of God, is by looking in his word, by what the Holy Ghost teacheth, by the Spirit of God, by the word of God. And when you understand that, you be able to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Both are small case s. Because what that means is, when you're being taught to be a son and daughter in Christ, you're being educated to be able to make decisions on your own. You'll be able to make decision-making on your own as a saint, as a son and daughter. That is being taught sonship doctrine. You're able to be taught this, and you're able to now, when you look at verses, and we're going to take a look at that in a second, but when you look at verses in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, when it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, when you see, when you, after the, this teaching here, you're going to be able to understand that verse much more clearly. You're going to be able to understand when it says that the Spirit also helps with our infirmities, and you're going to know that that says that the Word of God also helps with our infirmities, and that the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us, that the Word of God maketh intercession for us. You're going to come to know that. And again, that's comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's judgment making. That's being able to compare it. That's being able to be a mature saint when you're grown up enough to be able to judge things and prove things. To be able to say, well, this is not what my father taught me. These guys have these self-help books on how to overcome depression or how to overcome sufferings or anger or different things that we face in life. These self-help books, and they're effective, but they're not effectual. You're going to come to find out, you're going to take God's word, and you're going to, your education in that, you're going to be able to, like Paul says in Romans chapter 5, we glory in our tribulation, and tribulations worketh experience, and experience hope, and it worketh patience, and experience worketh hope. You're going to be able to do the same thing. And this is not done by a doctor so-and-so with a PhD. It's going to be done by the Word of God and His Spirit working in your spirit, where you can judge things the way God would have you to judge things. Now let's come over to, we run out of time here. Let's come over to 1 Corinthians. Come on, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to close here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I was present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, you see what the issue will be, see going on is fornication in the church among these justified people. And they were doing some things. Paul says, that this hasn't been named among any other Gentiles what you're doing. What are you guys doing down there? And he's going to explain to them about judging and how they should judge one another in this act. But Paul is saying he's absent in the body, but he's present in the spirit. And what Paul is saying there, and well, let me just go down before. He says, as I have judged already, as though I were present. Verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit. And he's saying, when you're gathered together, he's saying that, he's explaining about when he says, and my spirit, and that he's absent in the body but present in the spirit. Paul is talking about his ways, his doctrine, his manner of life as a walking epistle. This is what he's explaining when he says, follow me and make known my ways as I teach in every church and things of that, teach every man and things of that nature. This is what he's explaining to them when he says, and when you gather together, and my spirit. That's small case S. That's Paul's inner man. That's Paul being that apostle and being that example and example unto these saints here, that these saints should use their judgment making and say, well, how would Paul view this? How would Paul deal with this issue here? How would God the Father deal with this issue? Let's use Paul for an example. Paul is a perfect example of a son in Christ. Let's use Paul. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's the way the judgment-making was ought to be based upon. As Paul says, my spirit. And again, we're going to go to, let's go over back to Romans chapter 8. Let's come back to Romans chapter 8. And again, let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at that verse. Let's come to verse 23. Let's come to verse 22. And keep in mind, remember what we talked about in Romans, what we've seen in Romans chapter 5, about that glorying in tribulations, that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Keep that in mind here. For we, Romans 8, 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We are saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? For if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I mean, we don't have time to cover the whole doctrine here, but I'm going to give you an overview of what's being said. Paul is explaining about the tribulations that we've seen that he said he glories in. Now, how he glories in it, he talks about here, he says that we are saved by hope. And you see hope here, you see patience, and he's talking about something that the Spirit is going to do. The Spirit's going to help you in this. And it's going to help you because that's where the Word steps in. The Word steps in and makes intercession for you, but it's being done by the will of God. And this is how hope, how tribulation worketh patience, and patience hope, and hope experience, and things like that, of that nature. I know I said it wrong, but it's all done by God's word, God teaching us as sons and daughters in Christ to do things unto him the way he designed. And that's being taught from milk to meat in this particular doctrine here. Now, I'm going to close here because we went over here. What I'm going to do, I'm going to open things up for Q&A session. I'm going to open things up for Q&A. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to leave a comment or question. You have to press star 6-1.
Sorry, Dave.
Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. And this doctrine here is going to be an essential doctrine going through, because this is going to explain to us how we can have that hope doctrine, how you can actually learn to be as Paul and not just want to live unto God, but want those sufferings and want to be educated by him. And, you know, it's something, there's a guy, a pastor, Keith Blades, when he died, he was going through stage 4 cancer. And, you know, I would text him and ask him how he's doing and things like that. And he would say, well, status quo. He would say, well, I'm actually at a better position than you are. Because even though I'm suffering, I'm going through the cancer and things like that that's deteriorating my body, I'm able to take God's word and use it more effectually than you are. Because you don't need it as much as I need it. So he gloried in that. He gloried in the fact that he was able to take God's word and be that living epistle, and allow God's word to work effectually through him. And he was able to use that doctrine, and it brought him joy. It brought him, some would say peace, but it brought him, he gloried in that tribulation. He gloried when he suffered more. He was able to use and utilize God's word to the nth degree to help him in all his infirmities. But again, star 6-1 will get you into the queue, and that's what we're called to be. We're called to be that conform to the image of his son. And if the head of the body suffered, why do you think you're not going to go through those things yourself? Why do you think you're exempt from that? Why do you think the finger or the toe should not suffer if the head suffered? Why do you think that God is shielding us from our problems? What he's doing is he's taking our problems and he's given us his word so we can utilize his word. That's the only way he can. If he was taking things away from you, you wouldn't have the opportunity to live on to him and allow his word to work for you and you to bring forth fruit if he was taking things away from you. And that's not the way it's designed to be. Well, look, these are things we're going to get into later on, and we're going to get into these things next week about the issues of sufferings and about the adoption and wanting to cry out a father to learn his will in all your decision-making. And I'm going to go to the first caller here. Last four digits is 33366. You're in the queue.
Hey, so I jump back one.
Pretty good. How you doing there, my friend? How you been?
Oh, great. Just excited by the family on the phone on the doctor's ship of the of Paul's teaching and about how some sense that he is saying everything, but it's not not edified, but they can still be laid under the flesh. I mean, they can't bring no full fruit. That's what I'm trying to say. Bring more fruit, and they can't be saved, but don't bring no fruit unto God.
That's right.
And they can't bring no fruit for God.
Right, and that's what some people think. They think because they're automatically they go to church and they automatically do certain things, baptized and speaking in tongues and certain things that the church says that gives them that holiness. They think that that means something. And that's what the Pharisees thought. The Pharisees thought they were righteous because of heritage, because of who they were, which wasn't the case. But we got to understand God's way of sanctifying, not this world's way that man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Ghost teaches, how we are to be sanctified.
Right, by comparing spiritual things to physical.
That's right.
2 Corinthians 2:14. Right, but the natural man receives things, then you can't know that
the
spirit is
better. Right, that's right.
The capital small S is our spirit, and God justifying that is spirit.
That's right. That's right.
Definitely, that's so much. Yeah. So appreciate that, and you're teaching this thing. And spreading it around to others. Appreciate that.
Well,
thank you.
Oh, and I thank you. And I know you are spreading it around to others. I thank you for your comments all the time. Appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. God bless.
Thank you.
God bless.
All right, now. I'll come back.
Bye.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with what the Holy Ghost teaches, and that's what he's teaching us. And next week what we're going to do is we're going to pick this up again, and we're going to go over now that we're understanding how to be led by the Spirit and what it means when it says the Spirit of God, we're going to go and we're going to look down about the adoption. We're going to take a look at that in verses 15 and 16, and we're going to see more about that adoption and what it means to be adopted by God as being sons and daughters. We already have that adoption as far as we are the household of God. We're going to take a look at what Paul means when Paul says, about that receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And we're going to take a look at that next week. So, again, I